Hello and welcome to Sprovecast, the English language Sprovka Bono podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I think we should get on with it quite quickly.
Yes, we've got a lot to get through.
In a packed show.
Yeah. Oh, Doctor, we've got what looks like a record-breaking 10 sections today. So, yes.
Yeah, 10.
Yeah, remarkable stuff. We've got so much stuff, we're not even going to list it. You're just going to have to listen and see what it is. Ready?
It'll still be in the SoundCloud bits below. Yeah, let's go.
Go! Right, we've had three games in the past week. We have played Příbram at home, we played Varnsdorf away, and we've played Žižkov away.
Yes, we have.
Žižkov we'll come to later, but for the moment, let's look at the home game against Příbram. Can you remember the score?
I believe it was 1-0.
It was.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember anything else.
You know what? Because absolutely nothing happened. The only thing I have of note is Texel's cross, neatly volleyed home by Barish. Not much else happened.
Yeah, probably about that. I won a prize.
You did? You won a prize, didn't you?
I won a 1,000 crown Decathlon voucher, so somehow I need to find a way to get to Decathlon and Ivančice and buy sportswear or something. Do you buy tents? I don't know what they have.
If you buy a bicycle, you could get home quicker than you got there.
Good, but it's 1,000 crowns.
Yeah, if you buy a tenth of a bicycle, just like a wheel.
Could have trike home.
Yeah.
But that was nice of the club. They were very good to give me, I still don't know why, a giant novelty check.
Yeah, there you go.
It was important to win,
I think. It was a solid win, nothing more than that. Nothing spectacular, but it was a job done, wasn't it?
Yeah, the one thing that I sort of recall about this game more than anything is that it was one of these games where usually on a 1-0, especially as you're going into, you know, maybe you're past the hour mark, I then usually start being a bit concerned that we're not putting teams away or do something of that sort, or like try and get some momentum going. I was not really convinced that really at any, perhaps like the last minute or something like that, that Zbrojovka were ever going to really give up that lead, because I did find Příbram to be quite toothless.
Yeah, they were incredibly limited, weren't they, as a team?
And they are
incredibly limited as a team.
Yeah, and in trouble.
Yeah.
Potentially. So this is really quite something for a team that came down with us.
Yeah. I've got three notes, actually. Okay. Three more, like, just general observations. Since January, Texel looks so much better in his new role as a sitting midfielder with Blecher and Folsek doing the creative work and the running. Mm-hmm. Texel's finally found his role because, you know, we slagged him something rotten, mm-hmm. us and Pavel and various people.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, he seems to have found his niche, which is quite nice to see.
I mean, because it seemed like a rather puzzling signing at the start, didn't it? Mm. Getting him in, you know, what tended to be almost like a convoluted trade for Antonín Rusek, really, who sort of went the other way eventually.
Yeah.
We had him on loan and it was then made permanent.
Yeah, and he was very unconvincing, but I think Blecher is the missing piece of that puzzle. Between them, they're a decent midfielder.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I actually think with against some of these teams, you're not really going to see it so much. But against the sort of defensive frailties that Zbrojovka, deep down, we all know have,
yeah.
I think we need not necessarily a defensive mid, but as you say, like somebody in this sort of sitting sort of position.
Yeah, a sort of sideways shuttler.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it, actually. Because you would look at the squad and you look who we're playing at the back, and you're not really convinced that those players should be or will be in that back four come, let's say, this time next year, when theoretically we should be in the top league.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is we need a replacement for Damian Barish.
Yes. That was actually note two. For a makeshift back four, we looked relatively secure, but that's mainly because Příbram offered absolutely nothing forward-wise. And the other observation was, it's nice to see players coming in January and actually being used properly.
Yes, yes.
Hans and Nechas slowly being introduced. You know, Blecher being immediately slotted in. They clearly had a plan. But yeah. Nechas coming in a little short of match fitness, but they've sort of built him up. And he looks like a, you know, a nice cog in that well-oiled sort of front 3-4 machine, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. I like that. I mean, those are the ones actually that maybe do scream out, you know, will be sort of with an eye on next season.
Yes.
To sort of really be ingrained into that squad.
Yeah. Right, should we go straight on to Varnsdorf?
Yeah, I didn't see this one.
No, I didn't either. I read the match report, and very few people saw it apart from the 10 exclamation marks Brovazzi, who made the trip all the way to basically Germany for a Wednesday 4:30 p.m.
Our 10 unemployed supporters.
Yeah, basically, yes. Yeah, Burko plus 9.
Was Burko there?
I didn't even see him in the
photo, actually. Burko will always
shambled
be there.
Along. Yeah.
Burko is legitimately jobless, though. good effort for that journey. It's a tough journey.
Yeah, it's a long way to go. Even the official match report labelled this as a 10-minute event, and that pretty much sums it up. Mm. 3 minutes, Nechas misses a great chance, but 2 minutes later we go 1-0 up. Shevchik's cross is met by the onrushing Jan Stjerba, which is nice. He gets a goal coming back after missing the Fribram game after his injury against Lichen there. On 10 minutes, Michal Kubista makes a mistake. Prikistal is sent clear, slots home past Richter in the Varnsdorf goal, makes it 2-0. And from there, it seems that Zbrojovka pretty much just shut Varnsdorf down. In the second half, Djordic had a couple of half chances, but for the last 35 minutes, the home side didn't have a single shot on target or off.
For a Varnsdorf team, keeping a Varnsdorf team this season quiet is actually quite admirable.
Yeah, that was again, that was very much in the mould of the previous away game, where it was go there, do the job, come home.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, exactly what you want at this stage of the season. Yeah,
and try not to get anybody injured because you have this run of games.
Yes, yeah. And as you say, versus Varnsdorf, considering how much hard work we made of losing 1-0 to them last time we went to their place, that's very good.
Yeah, no, we've had problems with Varnsdorf for a while. I mean, that Varnsdorf team that basically ended up like very efficiently dispatching Usti at the weekend as well. So, yeah, I think that says a lot that they are quite a good free-flowing team these days, which is kind of counterintuitive. So to actually, because I was looking at that and going, realistically, is a point terrible?
Absolutely not, no, yeah.
And this is fantastic now. Yeah. So, I mean, what we're really doing in the past week is really sort of equipping ourselves, let's say, for being able to maybe ease off towards the end of the season, start thinking about the squad a bit more and who's actually going to need replacing.
Yeah. Okay, so that's those two kind of dealt with. Up next, we've got Hot or Not or Beer of the Podcast. What stage are you at on your can?
Barely started.
Okay, Hot or Not it is then. Hot or Not time, meow, 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 meow. Hot or Not time, meow, 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 meow. Hot or Not time.
I mean, I'm incredibly impressed, David, that this is my two worlds colliding right now, because that is Eurovision by Telex.
It is.
Who were in the 1980s Eurovision Song Contest.
Yes.
One of my favourite Eurovision tracks.
Yeah, I thought, like, I've given you some tricky ones recently, so I thought I'd...
give me one.
Give you one that...
give him a nerd song, one he knows.
Yeah, it'll be right up your street.
And yeah, let me tell you, listener, Eurovision is about a month away, and if we have podcasts colliding with that, I'm going to be absolutely insufferable. So,
yes. Anyway, hot or not, one each?
One each, yes.
I'll give you a very quick hot, because my not's relatively long. Okay. My hot is the referee stopping play briefly in the 65th minute of Augsburg versus Mainz this week, so Musa Niakate could have a drink of water. The end of the 65th minute was officially sunset, and Niakate had been observing Ramadan very strictly. So the ref stopped just so he could make sure that
Well done to people for initiating this sort of thing.
Yes, so that Niakate could have his first drink of water since sunrise in the middle of a major athletics event. Yeah. So yeah.
After playing for over an hour.
Over an hour, yes. So yeah, I thought that was, yeah, excellent. Excellent sensitivity and awareness all round. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Die Bundesliga.
And if we do have any Muslim listeners who are listening to the podcast, I hope you're having a very fulfilled Ramadan.
Indeed. Right now. Yes. Pick one.
Okay. I mean, this feels... Okay, so this will be the iftar to your one, because I will go for catering options of Victoria Žižkov.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about this later, the game that is. But I was very impressed at seeing a variety of different foodstuffs and beverages available to away supporters at Victoria Žižkov on Sunday. Normally, if you compare this, for example, with our last away game that we went to, which was Jihlava away, where you had a woman basically shuttling pints in a carrier between the home section and the away section and passing them through a fence. Having a variety of things, which included two types of sausage.
Yeah.
Skvarki, which is sort of like...
sort of like pork scratchings, but like grimmer.
Well, no, I mean, I like skvarki, but yeah, sort of rendered pork fat, which is spread on, very much like a beef and dripping sort of thing. So you could have that. There was cake.
Hot dogs. Yeah, different varieties of like fruit cake, sort of flanny things. The beer was incredible.
Bramborachki.
Yeah.
Local Pivovar doing their beer.
Delicious. That probably takes... that now beats Tabor's Ice Cold Bernard 12.
Really?
As my best beer of this season at an away game. It was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find the brewery name online and we'll do a beer of the podcast if I can find it, because it was delicious.
But actually, congratulations to all concerned. Going to be a sad loss to the league.
Yeah, they are.
That is.
They are.
But, you know, hopefully at some point, you know, maybe there will be a case where we are in Prague or, you know, the day before in Pilsen or something like that, watching Zbrojovka. He says as if they're already promoted. But, you know, maybe there'll be a time that we can actually then visit on the way back or something, because I always have a really good experience with Žižkov, good club with good people.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Do you want to give me your not... now, because like I said, my last one's fairly hefty. Uh-huh.
Okay, so my knot is J. Emmanuel Thomas.
Jet.
Released by Aberdeen today.
Right. That's gone very well, hasn't it?
Yeah, like, he's been fucking useless, basically. So Jet came in and he said he was going to score 20 goals this season.
Has he scored 20 goals this season?
He scored one goal against crack League Two outfit Edinburgh City in the Cup.
Good.
And that's pretty much been... No, he did not. He scored against Raith Rovers. No, he missed a sitter against Edinburgh City from about 3 yards out. This generally just compounds the misery of Aberdeen Football Club right now, who are going to be bottom six for the first time in about a decade. And I do love the chutzpah of the social media team for announcing the bottom six split fixtures and then going, well, remember, got to still get your early bird season ticket before it goes before it goes hugely expensive. Unbelievable team.
Mm. Yeah, it hasn't been a very good season for Aberdeen Football Club.
One of the slowest players I've ever seen, and I've seen Petr Pavlík,
the ironically named Jet. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. This is also the absolute arrogance and hubris of like lower league English players thinking, Scotland's a 2-bit league, I'm going to absolutely rip it up. No, you're not.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like he came down from England, man. We got him from Livy. And he was,
fair enough.
And he wasn't that great at Livy. And everyone was going, hmm. And was the case indeed.
Hmm. Right, my final lot, MLS Derby names.
Uh-huh. You pre-warned me about this.
I did. Now... This is a knot, but the more I looked into them, the more there are actually some quite nice stories behind them.
Okay.
Some of them are shit. I will warn you that now. And
who would have thought?
And I will caveat all of these by saying my problem with this is a derby name should evolve organically, right? It just smacks of the US trying very, very, very earnestly to give itself a heritage that you haven't earned. Like, I'm a big, like, I'm fine with the MLS as a thing. Have your football league, carry on, do it. Like, it's great. Like, it has a very different fan culture to anywhere else. That's fine. But, like, you can't have it both ways. You can't bang on about heritage and be very, very, like, of the fan culture that they have. Like,
you cannot hate, realistically, supporters and another club if you've just formed a franchise.
Yes.
And this is the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Don't like that. Sorry, I know we're going to go way over time and you're wanting to get in.
This is also going to go incredibly, you know, Richard Keys and Andy Gray here.
Yeah, but no, I do want to say the one thing, and this is the thing that I just find the weirdest thing in the world about US football, is that they have fans and songs and chants before they've kicked a ball. While they've just, you know, formed a franchise and people automatically are like, I'm a diehard, Chud's Bluff Rovers man or something like that.
It's Chud's Bluff Dynamo, actually. Oh,
sorry. Yeah. Real Chud's Bluff. Sorry.
Anyway, so yeah, I was all for absolutely hating this, and in a way I sort of do, but there was a list of MLS derby names came up somewhere, I can't remember where, and there are already 14, for Christ's sake, which seems... Okay, right, I've mixed them into acceptable, cups, really, and outliers. Those are my three categories. Acceptable, the New York Derby. Fair enough, is exactly what it is. Ditto, Texas Derby.
Right.
FC Dallas versus Houston Dynamo.
Fine.
The California Classico. Okay, I'll sort of take it because they were two of the original from, like, back when the MLS was actually founded. LA Galaxy and San Jose Earthquakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. And the Canadian Classique, Montreal CF versus Toronto FC.
And you like it more just because it's in French.
Yeah.
I will take these.
They have history, or they have, like, geographical meaning.
The literal name Derby. Yes,
exactly. That's fine. Now, the cups, not the invented game in Friends so that Joey can win his money back, a different type of cup. Right. These are genuinely the winner of this fixture or pair of fixtures every year gets an actual fucking cup.
Oh, it's like the fucking rugby. Jesus
Christ. Yeah, exactly,
Christ.
Right? Okay, so we've got the Atlantic Cup.
That sounds very much like Timber Sounders or something, right?
Well, it's the Atlantic Cup, not the Pacific Cup.
Oh, Pacific Cup. Oh, okay, right.
So it's DC United versus NY Red Bulls. New York's historic NY Red Bulls. The Heritage Cup. That's the Sounders versus the Earthquakes.
Okay.
The Rocky Mountain Cup. Care to take a guess?
That'll be Colorado. That'd be a team in Colorado,
yes,
right?
Yes, Colorado Rapids.
Rapids against... What, give me
Utah.
A state. Oh, Real Salt Lake.
Very good, yeah. Okay. The Pioneer Cup.
Didn't this exist in the USSR?
Yes, almost certainly. Mm-hmm. It's FC Dallas versus Columbus Crew.
Okay. Columbus Crew, do they still have their fantastic badge? This is a bunch of lads in...
I think they do. I think they do,
folded,
yeah.
Isn't it? That's
the Trillium Cup, which I had to look up because that's not a word I recognise.
I don't recognise that either.
It's Columbus Crew versus Toronto FC, and the Trillium is the state flower of both Ontario and Ohio. That's why it's named that. And they're, like, the opposite sides of one of the Great Lakes.
Okay.
Which is fair enough. We're getting slightly odd now. The Cascadia Cup.
No, that's the one I'm thinking of.
This is a three-way one, actually.
Okay, so it's definitely Sounders Timbers.
Sounders Timbers and
I could not hazard a guess.
Canadian City on the West Coast.
Oh, Vancouver Whitecaps.
Very good.
Yeah.
And finally, the Brimstone Cup. This is where it gets tenuous.
Right, okay. Okay, I'm just gonna throw it out there, man. Is Chicago Fire one of these teams?
It absolutely
yes.
is.
Yes, okay, right. So it's Chicago Fire against, I don't know.
FC Dallas.
FC Dallas. But, like, what are these geographies about?
But why is it the Brimstone Cup? FC Dallas, do you know what they used to be called?
No.
Dallas Burn. Fire and Burn. It's the Brimstone Cup, ladies and gentlemen.
None of these places are remotely fucking close
no,
to each
they're
other.
Not,
yeah.
No, right. Outliers. Okay. We've got El Tráfico, which is LA Galaxy versus LAFC.
Okay.
The nicest rivalry in sports.
Fuck, rugby wanks. Is it rugby wanks?
Minnesota United versus Sporting Kansas City. This is slightly tongue-in-cheek because upper Midwesterners are generally supposed to be the nicest, politest people in the US. So that's slightly, tongue-in-cheek sort
of self-aware.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. That's a... But my favourite, which I was going to be my absolute most despised thing in the world, but I actually quite like it having read into the history of it.
Okay.
The Hell is Real Derby.
Hell is Real Derby.
That's Columbus Crew again versus FC Cincinnati.
We're having a beer soon.
Sin.
Right?
Nat. Yeah. T. Yes. Now... the reason this is called the Hell is Real Derby. Now, I thought this would be some pathetic attempt to, like, you know, make it like a sort of, you know, Galatasaray Fenerbahce thing.
I'm getting heavy, like, Raw is War, WWF vibes.
No, what's really cool is, now, they are, to get from Columbus, Ohio to Cincinnati, Ohio, you have to drive down Interstate 71 that connects the two cities. Mm-hmm. And almost exactly halfway between, on 2004, a property developer who was big into doing this thing with religious signs, just erected a massive, massive billboard that just said, Hell is Real, in huge letters. Uh-huh. So they've decided, hey, it's on that road, it's the Hell is Real Derby.
The Barcelona fan putting up the sign.
Yeah, I just thought it sounds like it should be ridiculous. I think the story's quite sweet.
Do you know they have a chili in Cincinnati and it's only in Cincinnati and it's made mostly with cinnamon? Sounds shite.
Yeah, it sounds awful. Beer of the podcast?
Yeah, I think so.
Beer of the podcast. It's a very special beer of the... well, it's a relatively special beer of the podcast this week, because this week's beer comes all the way from Hamburg, Germany.
Der Beer.
Das Beer? I can't remember. I can't remember which gender beer is. It's either Der Deer or Das Beer.
Here, there, and everywhere.
Good. And if she's inside me, I know I will never care. Right. Yes. Sorry. I was in Hamburg.
Yes, you were.
Yes.
It rained a lot.
It rained every day, but I did see the Divine Comedy live, so that was great. And
play or the book?
the band. No, it was great. It was very nice. And on one of my slightly soggy trudges around the city, I encountered the House of Superfreunde.
Welcome to Super Friends.
Huh?
Welcome, Superfriend!
It's, if you're in Hamburg, it's at the top end of Bernstorffstrasse, and if you go in, talk to Dennis, which is who I talked to. Mm-hmm. He was very lovely. Could talk the hind legs off a donkey. He was very enthusiastic. But he pointed me towards some delicious stuff, two of which I drank while I was there, and this one which I saved, because it is a double-hopped Pilsner.
Okay.
4.8%. Here is the can, if you like to examine it. It's called Tandem Thrills.
Their can.
The sweet, sweet can.
I quite like that on the can there is these two people on a bike, and just in the back's a wee flag, it says Pilsner.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
Does exactly what it says on the tin.
Good. Is this like made from their... oh, it's a Superfreunde labelling and stuff like that. Mm. It's brewed in the Øl city of Denmark.
Yeah, they have sort of collaborations with other breweries, mm-hmm. which... They sort of, I don't know exactly how it works, but they had collaboration with these guys, a collaboration with, I think, like one Czech brewery, Brewdog, slightly sadly. Yeah. But it was they had a massive selection, probably like 50, 60 odd different ones, just in this little like semi-basement unit thing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was very good, all for very reasonable prices. If you're in Hamburg, go and see Haus der Superfreunde and pick yourself up a couple of cans. Let's see how this one goes.
It
smells hoppy, which...
it smells like pineapple lumps.
Hmm. It does smell a little bit pineapple-y, actually, yeah.
This could save it, listener.
Well, let's see. Here we go. Gin, gin. Not unpleasant. It's quite mild. It's quite mellow. There is a little bit of pineapple on the end, actually.
Smells worse than it. Smells worse than it is.
Smells worse than it is. That's your verdict, is it? Just,
I'm not a hop guy. You know.
I know. This. I know you're not. But you know, it was.
I find it.
It did say Pilsner, and yeah. I thought maybe it would be more like less of the IPA, more towards the like just plain lager end of the scale.
Yeah, but. I find it less offensive than what is it? The Matushka, which is a very similar sort of Czech beer, which is like an 11 degree, but is hopped.
Yeah.
Like I'd rather drink that than the Tushka.
Well, this is double hopped.
Yes.
So there you go.
So very clean at the end, actually.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it's quite. Yeah, there's a bit of fruit at the beginning, but once it's gone, really. So that's perfectly fine. Yeah.
I feel it's another banner year for beer, David.
Well. Yeah. So now we've discussed that. Let's discuss somewhere that did some excellent beer, as previously mentioned. Victoria Zhishkov. Zhishkov 0, FC Zborovka Brno
3.
Brilliant. Yes. We had a great time, didn't we?
Yes, I had a thoroughly enjoyable time in our weekend trip to Prague.
Yes, we went up sort of 1:30-ish Saturday, didn't we? Got a cheap deal on a hotel.
Quite a nice hotel.
Yeah, it's all right. In Vinohrady. I was actually going to do a What's the Deal with Vinohrady section, but we don't have the time, Sam.
Yes.
Which is fine, because I can save that until we never play Zhishkov again. Or we stay in Vinohrady again, which is more likely.
Yeah, that's very likely, considering we've got, you know, Bohemia and Slavia quite close by.
Yeah. The weather was weird.
Strange.
Yes.
Strange, but not, like, unbelievably bad. Like, it had its moments where it was very strange, but otherwise it was okay.
Yeah, it started out in sort of almost t-shirt weather, sun.
Yeah.
Then overcast, then snow.
Then a bit of rain.
Then overcast.
Then really nice again.
Then nice again, then snow again. And then by the end it was quite nice again. So,
yeah.
What a roller coaster of weather.
Uncovered terraces, but the weather wasn't so bad that it, you know, it made it, you know, difficult to maybe watch or concentrate on the action.
No, it was fine. Around 80s Brojovatsi there. Atmosphere was really good.
Yes, really good atmosphere.
Yep. Everyone seemed just there for the crack. No trouble, obviously. Like, you know, people just, you know, like, even when we turned up before the game, just people hanging about outside.
Yeah.
Riot police lolling about, not doing anything. And yeah, it was grand.
I left a bottle of Smirnoff Ice at the gate for going into the stadium. And when I came out of the stadium, it was still there.
Yep. With its top on, I should say. He didn't just, like, you know, have a couple of swigs, abandon it, and then come back. It was still, you know, top on.
That's not unlike something that I might do, depending on how much alcohol had been ingested. But this was, you know, this was, listener, about 10:15 in the morning. So.
Yes. Yeah, it actually kicked off at 10:30, so this was about 10:15, actually, wasn't it? Yeah. The side coming back to near a full strength, and it was a tremendously entertaining game in general. Zhishkov more than played their part, didn't they? You know, they didn't look like a side with only sort of 10 points on the board. They were very good.
Okay, I mean, I would maybe, yeah, I sort of agree. I agree in the first half.
First half, definitely,
I
yes.
I didn't think in the second half they were very good, frankly. I think once we had, I basically thought the game as a contest was killed at about the 48th minute when we, I think, had our second around that time.
Yeah.
And I don't
absolutely think
they offered anything after
that. As soon as we scored our second, they just looked utterly deflated. It was like, oh shit, this again.
Yeah.
But the first half, I mean, we go 1-0 up despite probably Zhishkov having the better of it. Berkovets makes at least two good stops down at our end. They're shooting towards our end in the first half. As did Pavel Holowska, of course, returning to haunt. Cliche alert, his former club.
Didn't haunt that much, did he?
No, he didn't haunt that. He looked like he was going to haunt.
There was a couple of moments that you were just sort of like, oh. But yeah. No, he was actually reasonably competent. I don't know how much he can really do about the goals, frankly.
No, I watched the highlights of this earlier, actually, while I was sort of putting this report together. A couple of great... There was There was one absolutely outstanding tip over the bar.
Yeah.
About halfway through the first, that was a really lovely save. But there was also that one where he went up to catch it, missed it, it bounced off his knee and went out for a corner, and you're like, there's the old Powell Hullo. There's the guy that I remember. Yeah.
Bomb skier.
Yeah. Zhukov eventually fall behind. Plikistal puts a low centre in. Plikistal actually an absolute pain in the arse down Zhukov's right.
Yeah.
He was very good all game. In fact, both wingers were. Nechas very good on the other side. So Plikistal's low centre sort of gets past Nechas, but poor old Benson Sakala, the Zambian fullback, sort of clatters his way into it and deflects it into his own goal, which is seems slightly unfair.
The sort of luck you get when you're at the bottom of the table.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. The last 10 minutes of the first half, all Victoria, though.
I mean, how many times did they hit the woodwork?
Yeah, they just...
I'll tell you exactly. Two times.
Yeah, Berkovets in imperious form to keep a couple of the shots out. Really, yeah. Absolutely under the cosh we were for the last 10 minutes of the first half.
I mean, he is, really is. And I know we say this a lot about, you know, some people that have come through, like Berkovets, like Jirka Floder, like Dusan Milicharek. But, like, such a good keeper. He's a good keeper, particularly for this level.
We've had, a history of, if it's one position we can do... sort of periodically right, it's goalkeepers. Yeah. We've had a very good stream of goalkeepers coming through, as you say. Radek Volta, Shimon Gabriel, both going close. We sort of make it to the break unscathed. But yeah, as you say, on 49 minutes, we go 2-0 up. The ball sort of hoiked into the box from where on the left, Štěrba, I think, is. Reznicek gets it under control with his back to goal, holds off Isaac Maleme, ducks his head, sort of ducks, heads it back to Nechas. And that volley from Nechas, sweet as a nut, into the bottom left-hand corner of the goal. It's lovely. Yeah. And and that, as you say, pretty much finishes it as a contest. Zhukov looked pretty bereft, as do their fans. Were making a whole lot of noise throughout the whole game, really. There aren't many of them, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. And then, from then on, I just thought we were cruising. If I can actually... do a shout out, I will actually say that I thought that this was a particularly good game by Štěrba. I enjoyed Štěrba, even though he was not playing at all at the time in his supposed role. He was almost like a fullback at times. Like he was just sort of bombing up the field. Like one of our first chances was him, I think, running about 60 yards into the corner of the box to try and get a shot off.
This is the Jan Štěrba that at the beginning of the season we were concerned we weren't going to get when he came in from Opava, and he's slowly turning into the player we thought he was going to be, which is good news.
Yeah, I didn't rate him or Matěj Hrabina at all when we got them in, and becoming pleasantly surprised. Maybe we have to hashtag trust the process, but I'm not sure.
It seems a little bit hit and miss. Although, you know, the Blecher and Nechas signings, you know, maybe that, there is a process.
That's come up.
Maybe there is a process. Who knows? Anyway, we make it 3-0, 65 minutes. Plikistal heads off down the left, vaults a tackle, gets the byline, squares it low. Shevchik steps over it and leaves it for the little butcher to tap in from 2 yards.
One of the best moves of the game.
Yeah, and that's it. It's done and dusted.
Ustál, tenhle ten souboj, dostává výhodu a tři spoluhráči a čtvrtý ještě Bariš dobíhá do pokutového území. Řezníček 3-0.
Yeah, great news coming out of the club today that Shevchik has signed a new deal to stay with the club as well.
Yes, two more years.
This was someone who, I mean, he might still leave, but, you know, at some point, but this... What's really important is that if he leaves, we have to get money for him. And I think that's a really crucial thing in the sort of life cycle of Zborovka Brno.
Yeah, either that or he's clearly seen what having a crack at the top league can do for Daniel Fila, Antonín Rusek, and people like that. So
I would immediately quit the club if I was a footballer and saw what happened to some of these players and would involve me having to live for potentially at least 18 months somewhere like Mladá Boleslav. But point taken, I mean, this is the sort of game that we fuck up so often because it's in Prague and it's against a struggler for those who are keeping tabs on this, the last time we won in Prague was, I think, May 2020, where we ran out 7-2 winners against Slavoj Vyšehrad.
Mm.
And then before that, we were having to wait all the way back, I believe, to 2015, where we beat Dukla 2-1.
Yeah.
We've been so barren in the capital. So even that gives a real boost to the side.
Yeah. It was, yeah, and that's three games on the bounce without conceding for Berki. Defence looking good. And something I was sort of fearing after the last episode we did, where we were so outdone by Lee Shen, it clearly was just everyone was just having a shocker. It was just a bad day all round. Like, Lee Shen got us when nobody turned up.
This is why you may have, you know, good wins and get point cushions, because you will do something. Something like this will happen.
Yeah.
Happens to every team. It's like Liverpool's unbelievable season where they, and then just, you know, couldn't get past Watford.
Yeah.
Just happens, you know, no one turns up. So it's things like that. And it's always good to have a game where you're coming back with a smile on your face, and it's also not too bad in terms of transport.
Yeah.
And I think it was also made by the company that we had throughout the weekend as well.
Yes, good point. We are shouting out...
Well, we are, of course, shouting out the usual likely lads of Ben and Fraser, who came along for the whole ride. Sven, who is absolutely worth a follow on all social platforms that he is on.
At El Loco on Twitter.
Fantastic, fantastic photos, great company, great insight into football.
Yeah.
And Alex as well, who came with a couple of pals also. So really good, really good stuff all around.
Yeah, it was a nice bunch. Yeah, probably, seven of us sort of, you know, ramshackled our way there in various guises, and we had a bloody lovely time.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, if we just look at this overall, that's, you know, sort of basically three games in a sort of 8-day cycle. We've come out of that with 9 points.
Yeah.
That's really fantastic. And that's really good, because we are doing exactly the same thing again.
We certainly are. But not after, or not before, is the correct phrase, I believe. We've talked briefly about some food. All right, we're at Usaru in Prague, and we've got a Vrabec review for you.
It's a Vrabec review. This is maybe not going to make it in because it's very loud in here. However, it's good to be back.
So, thoughts?
Frankly, David, at this point, I would eat anything. However, I would say tender, what is called in the English side of the menu, pork roasts, good tang of cabbage, decent clear licky. So I would say that this is a five thumbs up for.
It looks really nice, actually.
It does. It's very nice. But I would also like to point out that you've got a tray of 2 kilos of meat. So I'm looking forward to seeing what your review of that will be.
That's right. And here,
shots are happening in the background.
Here at this point come our happy hour shots.
So, it's certainly a happy hour for Zbroj Offcast.
Yes, I would like to take this opportunity in the podcast to revisit the review slightly, I would like to say was under the influence of several alcoholic beverages by this point, and I think shots.
The Froshka.
In the cold light of day, and actually after the third or fourth bite, it was too salty. It was too salty, and I thought there was actually too much sage
in
the dumplings. Sage, not you don't come across it too often, but there was I thought it was quite strong. Cabbage was great.
Because sage and dumplings is a thing.
Oh, yes.
They'd clearly gone...
Well, a bit cack-handed with the sage, if you ask me.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we have another... Yes, we definitely have another bit.
Good.
Somebody who featured in, I think, both the Příbram game and the Žižkov game, and started the Varnsdorf game, is your friend and mine, the Aztec god. So let's hear a bit about him after this. I went on Ask Jeeves over the weekend.
Does that still exist?
Yes.
Wow, I can't believe as we are recording this.
It's almost as if this bit is made up.
April 12th, 1997.
It's almost as if this bit is entirely made up. Anyway, I went on Ask Jeeves to find out some things that people through history have learnt about Otto Koholtek.
Oh, great.
And I discovered these things. Number one, he can make his right hand small enough to get right down to the bottom of a tube of Pringles.
I'm really resisting the urge to make a Jeremy Beadle joke here.
I say go ahead, but
watch out, Koholtek's about.
he's got perfect pitch, which is nice.
Yes.
But only for tuning pianos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Give him a violin, guitar, useless. But yeah, only the least tuned of all the string instruments. There.
It's one you can make the most money from, though, as well. Piano True, tuning, yeah. Good business.
Is it? It's not a string. It's technically percussion, though. So, yeah.
We hammers on the bits.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Technical terms.
Also, thirdly, he's Banksy.
Oh.
So, we've got to the bottom of that mystery, at least.
Good stuff.
You know, the people on Ask Jeeves, even back in 97, they knew, before they even knew who Banksy was.
What a great service, man.
Otto Koholtek, yeah.
Bertie Wooster is a lucky man,
really
let
is,
me tell
he?
You.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's what he's been up to. Sam, are you going to tell us about Lusty Nad Laben?
I believe I'm supposed to, so let's do that. It's Usti. We scudded them last time, didn't we?
We did. That was possibly my favourite away. It's either that or Žižkov now of my favourite aways this season.
Yeah.
Both of which were excellent wins.
Yes, absolutely fantastic.
It's almost as if that meshes with your enjoyment of your weekend away.
Yeah, and if you are, of course, a season ticket holder at Zbrojovka Brno, bring a friend tomorrow.
That's true, yes. You should have received an email today.
Yes, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I've not read it, but you can bring a friend.
You just click on the button and they send you a QR code.
Oh, nice. Okay,
and
then
that's it.
I'll do that tonight because it is... Listener, it is Tuesday the 12th of April. This is hopefully going to go out.
I will endeavour to get this out on Wednesday. Hopefully you'll be hearing this on Wednesday, listener. That's when it's going to go out, all things going well. I did that getting the free ticket for a friend for Usti today. Got my QR code. Now I just need a friend.
You need a friend. 7 o'clock. You've got until 7 o'clock tonight to find someone because that's when it kicks off. And what is there to say about Usti Nad Laben? Despite looking sort of bang average and doing what Usti always do, which is sort of finish ninth, they could be in trouble. Three nets are above them now.
Are they? I had not been paying attention to this subtle but obvious but apparently clearly obvious slide.
Yeah, the Arma are in 14th now.
Oh dear.
No. So Trinet's getting a point at Jihlava this weekend has allowed them to leapfrog. So that's good signs if you're a Trinet's fan. It is
one of the 12.
It is getting tight down there. Žižkov, let's be real, are gone. So it's going to be a shootout, maybe with Usti in it. Trinets definitely will be about in it. It's, Hrudim, who are 15th, of course.
Yeah.
So, it started well enough, after the break. Draw Lishen, 3 points away at Prostyov. They've now been winless in four But the bad thing for Usti is that they're also goalless in four.
Oof.
So this is something to keep in mind. They haven't brought in much of a way of attack during January either. So they're opting to rebuild at the back. They did lose Michal Bilek to Opava. So they are trying to sort of rebuild there. Not much really in terms of sort of signings. I'd like to point out Ilya Timoshenko, who comes in from crack Ukrainian third-tier outfit Lubomir.
Good.
There's also, curiously, another Ukrainian centre-back called Mikhailo Kabutsov, who has come from... Mezinarodny Sfaz Mladezhe, which I always thought wasn't that communist thing. But it appears, from what I find, to be some sort of international football academy out of Prague.
Huh. How very odd.
So, yeah, no, me neither. They've got David Cherny from Teplice. So that could potentially be interesting. Sure. Well, he's on a half-season loan, and he scored against Slavia in the second game of the season.
Good
for
him.
3-1 loss and his only goal.
Yeah.
So basically what we're wanting to do here is we're wanting to get a result.
Yeah.
I get
that massive goal difference even massiver.
I get worried when a team says they haven't scored in four.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, hey, here you go. Look at this defense. But, theoretically, we should be burying
them. We should be doing them, yeah. So, yeah, if you want a scrappy 1-0 win, come along.
Come on down.
Wednesday night, yeah. Yes. We still have two more previews to go, actually, because as Sam mentioned, we have the two other games, away to Sparta B and away to
Vyshkov, the important one.
Yeah.
That you are not going here away for.
Yes. But before we do the Sparta B preview, would you like a quiz about Prague football teams?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see what you know about Prague football in its various guises.
We have very little.
Well, that's fine. I vaguely struggled to put this quiz together, actually. Question one will be, I assume, a complete guess. As of this weekend, which of Motorlet and Admira Prague is higher in the league?
I did know this, actually. Well, 50-50. I will go for Motorlet.
And you're right.
One of them's top, I think, of a...
No. They're fifth and sixth.
No, okay, right. One team that's not a B team is top of one of the JFLs. I can't remember.
I think it's Lokol Vltavin. Okay. I think is top of the JFL. But they're actually on exactly the same points, but Motorlet are ahead because they've won more games.
Oh, I see.
They're both on 30 points at the moment. Okay, question two. Which of the big two Prague clubs has the larger stadium, and it's only by a very, very small amount?
I'm pretty sure that that's Sparta.
Well, it's not.
Oh, really? Because yeah. I thought it said not 30,000 or 28,000 or something like that, Eden.
No, Slavia is like 19 and a bit. Letner is like the top end of 18.
Oh, I'm just fucking this, aren't
I? It's like 1,800 seats between them, I think.
Oh, I thought there was clearly more at Sparta.
Yeah. The Golden Boot was shared last season between two players, one from either of the big two Prague clubs. Name either one.
Okay, it's the young lad from Sparta who scored four goals against us in the last game of the season.
And you can't remember his name, can you?
Give me his first name.
Adam.
Adam Klojek.
Yes, very good. I'll be amazed if you get the Slavia one.
I would go...
And give you his first name as well, if you want. Jan.
Jan...
Yep.
Kubela?
Kuchta.
So
close. Okay. Very good. Sparta, Bohemians, Dukla, Slavia, Victoria Žižkov. Put them in order by titles won since 1945, when it was the Czechoslovak League.
So all of the...
Yeah. Czechoslovak League, clubs in all of their forms up until today. So Czechoslovak League and Czech League.
Ooh.
So It's Sparta, Dukla, Slavia, Bohemka, Žižkov.
Up to date, up till today?
Yes.
Okay. I think, well, I mean, I'm going to start at the bottom, if that's okay, and work my way up, because I think that most of the glory from Viktoria Žižkov came pre-45.
It certainly was.
So Žižkov would be last.
Mm-hmm.
I would then put Bohemians.
Okay.
And then after that, it's basically the three, right? I would go for Dukla, Sparta, Slavia. No, Dukla, Slavia, Sparta. I think Sparta won the most.
Sparta have won the most. You've got Dukla and Slavia the wrong way around, unfortunately.
It was how much they'd... Yeah, because, I was thinking too much in the modern era.
Yeah, because Dukla had that unbeatable 50s time. Like, they've won 10 in total, and 8 of them were in the 50s, I think.
Yeah.
And they won 2 late 40s when they were, like... UAD Prague or something like that. So
I'm so used to thinking about Scottish football and these things as well that I was just basically thinking, oh well, one of them's got 50 and one of them's got like 45, and then, you know, spilled over.
Yeah, no, it's Sparta way out in front with 26.
Yeah, that makes
Dukla
sense.
With 10, Slavia with 8 only.
Slavia had they were really wilderness early 2000s, weren't they?
They also did very little when it was Czechoslovakia, because it was Sparta and Dukla and like various iterations of Bratislava teams.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
And Bohemians with 1, and Žižkov, as you rightly say, were pre-war biggies.
I think it was the teens that they were doing well
yes.
in.
Yes. Right, this is quite a nice final question, I think. Of the 5 clubs currently in the top 2 leagues, that's those we have mentioned just now, only one doesn't have its nearest transport stop named after the club. And note I said transport stop, not tram stop necessarily, or metro stop. Which one?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, for me, it's... Slavia, absolutely. Slavia, absolutely. Sparta, yeah. I could be incredibly wrong here. I think it could be Viktoria Žižkov.
You are incredibly wrong.
Is it Bohemka?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Is it... Oh, well, by process of elimination, is it Dukla?
It is Dukla. What do you think the bus stop up the hill at Dukla is called?
Juliska.
Is the correct answer, yes.
Of course!
Yeah.
I was doing that thing where I was exclusively thinking about the tram stop outside the stadium, the Viktoria Žižkov Stadium, which is just called the name of the street, something something ska.
I think it's actually called Viktoria Žižkov now.
Is it actually?
Yeah. I looked on Google Maps earlier.
Well, I've done terribly in a quiz on this podcast as usual.
Well, never mind. The Bohemians one is quite sweet because there's Bohemians and. The next one up is Koh-i-Noor.
Yes,
which, yeah, you know, the stationery company.
The pencil lads. Yeah. Remember, we had a cracking photo of us in Česká Budějovice beside some big pencils.
Yeah, big Koh-i-Noor pencils. Lovely. Yeah, and obviously Slavia, when the stadium went up, that was that. Sparta's always been there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Dukla has no tram connect. Well, it has one, but it's down the bottom of a very big hill. There's a bus stop. It's just called Juliska.
I should have got that.
Well, you didn't. However, you can give us 2 sweet, sweet previews.
Hi, it's my voice again. And
Hi, Sam's voice.
This time we're going to talk about a couple more matches, both aways.
Mm.
So strap yourself in for some away day action on Easter Sunday. We are playing Sparta B, bracket A, at wherever, Stadion Evgen.
Evgen Rozitskeho.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are possibly faltering at this point. We will see. A couple of bruising defeats to Varnsdorf and a Tabor side. They only managed to get one shot on goal against. Because it was on TV, naturally. So, at time of recording, they are 4th. They are still keeping close to Vlašin Ulishen and a resurgent Opava, who are only 2 points behind them. But the thing that I think that we've worked out as well is that, you see, the last week, actually, in Czech second tier football has been fantastic for Zbrojovka, not because we just won, but all
everyone else is
all the results
the bed,
really
yeah.
went really against them. Lyshen dropped points, Vlashim's dropped points, Sparta B has dropped points. So actually, the gap that we have created, even though we lost to Lyshen, you know, that quite a bruising defeat, is bigger than it was.
Yeah, it's 12 points now.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a there's 12 points in the top 14 points off Lyshen now as well.
Right,
third.
Yes, yeah,
so,
yeah.
So really, if we sort of think about it in the cold light of day, if we beat Sparta B on Sunday, we effectively eliminate them from any of this nonsense of Zbrojovka have a collapse and lose six in a row sort of, you know, stuff. It's really not going to happen. I'm not going to bore you all with transfers because, you know, it's Sparta's B team, yeah. right? So anyone that they are getting in is going to be someone that they just have for development squad. And there's been a couple, I think, from places like Kralov Dvor and stuff where you they'll play a handful of minutes this season. But it's worth remembering to everyone, especially those who have leagues that don't have B teams in them, how this seems to work. As well, I want to give quite a sort of a brief example to you all here. So Sparta played Vyshkov on Sunday, and Martin Minchev scored a hat trick.
Right.
Yeah. Same Martin Minchev who bagged two assists in Sparta's 4-3 loss to Lyon in the Europa League.
Right.
Who played 45 minutes less than 2 months ago against Partizan Belgrade.
Mm-hmm.
A fortnight he turned out for Bulgaria's first team against Qatar and Croatia.
Right.
He has got regular time in the top division.
It stinks. It stinks. It stinks.
Yes. This is it. Martin Vitek scored for Sparta against Teplice on Saturday. He has played several times in the B team. He has scored against Lyshen in November. He is worth €1.5 million, which is based on projected squad strength on transfer market, half a hrudim. it's I'm all for using reserve leagues to get players up to fitness, but incorporating them in the
national
league
pyramid,
is just
yeah.
especially when you have this situation that the Czech FA have come out and said that in the event that Sparta B get first, there won't be an automatic relegation.
There is no first position effectively. Yeah.
If Sparta B play second, there's not going to be a relegation playoff with 15th.
Mm-hmm.
It's nonsense. It's the typical sort of jobs for the boys.
Yeah.
You know, padded envelopes sort of stuff.
I'm
absolutely
wherever
not
they finished, they block that place. Basically, yeah. That place doesn't exist. So.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about this much more at the time where it's a bit more exciting. I mean, regardless, I don't think that any other team is coming up with us to the top league. I don't think they're going to beat whoever ends up 15th and 14th in the top league, but I want to have teams have that option of two legs
absolutely,
against someone.
Yeah.
Putting them in there is just sort of nonsense. And that's basically, you know, all I have to say about what's going to happen. You know, it's at Sparta. Like, attacking side, 40 goals so far. But again, I think that we handled them pretty well in our home
sure,
match.
Yeah.
I thought it was an entertaining game.
Was,
I thought
yeah.
they had their moments. We probably benefited quite a lot because a couple of days before, Sparta had their squad stretched really, really thin by Europe anyway.
Mm.
So you didn't have some people who would normally be in there, like Minchev, was actually on European duty. I think that we will probably get some sort of result. I would like to say that we'd get at least a point again
yeah.
in Prague Klaxon. And actually, I don't think it really matters too much if we drop points here because I'm working on the assumption that we'll probably beat Usti tomorrow.
Right.
Or today, sorry, listener. And then we'll be able to sort of swag it out. So we'll see about that.
Okay, so we're not going to that because it's at a silly time on a Sunday morning and it's against Sparta B,
mm-hmm.
frankly. And here's one you, I think, will try to go to. Maybe.
Definitely good.
Yes.
To.
And I will not be coming up after this. Right, the final part is about a game I'm disappointed not to be going to.
Where are you going, David?
I'm going to Amsterdam, which is, you know, also nice, I'm sure. I've never been, so.
Oh, it's good.
Is it? Okay.
not been there since I was 11. Anyway, Vyshkov away in Drnovice.
In Drnovice, that's the reason I wanted to go. Big silly stadium.
It's a Saturday as well. Saturday 23rd, 10:15. The sun will be shining. It won't be shining. We'll see.
I'll be on a plane.
I can't complain.
Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah. What a weird fucking team Vyshkov are, by the way. So they either look great or hopeless. So like,
fine. Yeah.
Currently ninth. Some good results recently, 4-1 against Opava, 2-0 against Varnsdorf. Bizarrely, like they're a bit dodgy away from home, but their home is not their real home.
Yeah.
So really, really strange one there. They score plenty. 38 goals, put some fourth in the table. They've conceded 36, though. It tells a story about how this is going.
You're never short of entertaining football going to see Vyshkov, then, are you?
I'm gonna go out on a limb here, David. This might be a punt, but do you know who Vyshkov's top scorer is?
I absolutely do not know who Vyshkov's top scorer is.
Okay, it's Andrei Winter.
Oh, there he is. Look,
so leading with 9.
One of gambling illegalities, Winter brothers.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So he's still there. He's banging them in. The other big talent that we've talked about on this show before, Bienvenu Kanakimana.
Yes. I genuinely thought you were going to say that lad on loan from Barnsley.
Joe Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are we coming to him?
Yes. Well, I'll just tell you now, because all I have here is Joe Aykroyd, 19 years old defensive mid, on a loan from Barnsley, !
Yes.
He's played 5 matches now.
Have you also seen Ralph Davis interviewing him?
I have not.
Yeah, he was drafted in by Vyshkov because he speaks English very clearly and none of the press people could understand Aykroyd's accent.
Wow.
So they got Ralph to like interpret into genuine English. Yeah, he's on all their social media.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's good. What I was going to say about Bienvenu Kanakimana, by the way, is that he's back. I think he was injured.
Right.
So they're slowly reintroducing him into the squad. So he had, like, I think half an hour on Sunday and things like that, because he was out for 10 games. So if he's back, plus, Winter is firing, we could be in for a bit of a barnstormer here. Aykroyd, I don't think is the most bizarre signing they've made.
Oh, no.
All right, would you like 19-year-old Ethan...
Ethan Doubleair.
Doubleair from Seattle Sounders.
Who I have tried to get on this podcast. I've been trying to get him on various social media. He doesn't reply to any of them. He might just be terrified. I'm not sure.
Maybe he got a message from What's-His-Face, who never came on the podcast either.
Drew Connor,
yes. So if you're listening, Drew, all the best, mate. You're not listening. So Ethan Doubleair, he played a full 90 in the MLS last season.
Yeah.
So he might not be completely shite, but he is playing for a second tier Czech team. So,
Yeah, but so is Joe Aykroyd from Barnsley. And yeah, Barnsley,
Aykroyd.
I was going to say Barnsley are no slouches, but they are quite slouchy this season. So.
That reference is only mildly amusing if you come from a certain era in the UK and remember the band Dan Aykroyd. So Ethan Doubleair is quite strange. Aziz Kiondo.
Not as a person, I'm sure he's perfectly nice. But
would you like Aziz Kiondo?
Doesn't answer his socials.
Third time, David, would you like Aziz Kiondo with 6 caps for Uganda?
I absolutely would, yes.
He comes in from Vipers SC as a defender.
Vipers SC?
I'm told they're from Uganda.
Are they?
He's also got a fellow centre-back called Musa Rathana, I think, who's played 2 matches in the CAF Confed Cup.
Yeah. Musa Rathana, what a wonderful phrase.
Yeah. They've also got Martin Sedlak on loan, haven't they?
Of course they have, yeah.
So they've got Sedlak on loan.
What an absolute ragtag bunch of misfits and randoms. I love it.
I'm getting very A-team Soldier of Fortunes vibe from Vyshkov, and I actually really like it. Actually, as well, if you're actually listening to this for Zborovka Brno content, I know some of you are, Latsik and Mochka are also with them now. I think that's not Mochka. A loan. I think they were released from our B team.
Mm.
So we've got them there. I quite like Vyshkov. I quite like the ragtag nature.
Yeah, and me too.
They are, it would take, I think, a gigantuan effort for them to not stay up this season.
Yeah.
So fair play to them. quite often happens, you will have a team that will come up and just be absolutely nowhere in this league. So
yeah, they've done really well to come up, as you said, like not really in their own stadium or even in their own town, but absolutely buckling their swash all the way through this season.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it because, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting game in the sense, and I'm going to probably call this now, is that I think that stadium will have more Zborovka supporters in it than Vyshkov supporters.
Very probably, yes.
But I think they get about 400 a game or something along those lines. So you'll have, you know, and a lot of that will, you know, obviously be people from Vyshkov who supported the team.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a lot of that is also groundhoppers, day trippers, people from Drnovice who are just interested in having a team play at the stadium again. So it will be padded out, but I think there'll be a lot of interest in this game. I think it will be their highest attendance this season by probably some distance.
Yeah.
And I can see it very much in the sense of just because it is about half an hour away by train. It's very easy to get to Drnovice. So it could be the case where, and I know it's not as close, but anytime we play something like Slovan Rosice in the cup, where you go there and then there is just like half of the stadium is basically just Zbrojovka supporters. Mm. So it should be a good atmosphere. It's early enough that some people will be drunk from the night before, adding to the the colour of the occasion. And let's hope that we don't have any lads running on the pitch and getting the jail. like our last Saturday morning early kickoff in South Moravia, which was that shit show at Leashen.
It certainly was, yeah. We've done well there, haven't we?
We somehow always keep it to about this time.
Yeah, we stop ourselves rambling when we need to and have a bit of ramble time when we don't need to necessarily keep things tight. I think we've done quite well here.
If you've made it to the end, listener, thanks for your support as always.
Indeed, yeah. If you made it to the end of any of these, thank you for your support as always. Follow us on all the socials, @Zbrojovcast on Twitter and Facebook. Tell your mates.
And definitely tell your mates if you've got a season ticket, because you can get them in for free.
Yeah, exactly. And if anyone wants either of ours, I think I've still got mine to give away. So yeah, if you fancy it, come along. We'll see you right. A final shout out to Lukáš, wasn't the Slovak guy that we saw at the end of the Viktoria Žižkov game?
Yes, very
hello.
Nice to see him again.
Yes, how you doing? Right, that's it, I think.
Bye.